SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Like you've been there before, people. You have. It's Moneyline. It's the best hour of your day. It's now officially underway. It is a Thursday Sirius XM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. If you can watch it, go to Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube. Get in the chat box. Have some fun. Hit that subscribe button. SportsGridRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 159, as we said, and also on the Sports Grid app and SportsGrid.com. The place to be is right here, right now, Kevin. Thursday Night Football, Giants going up against the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of intrigue. The boys will be live tonight. We got an hour to get after it.
The one thing with this game tonight that you never would have really expected could be possible, but if the Giants win, and I know they're a dog, but they are at home, it will guarantee that the Cowboys, through 4 weeks, will have a standalone worst record in the division, sitting at 1-3, because it would shoot, of course, the Giants up to 2-2, and that's the worst possible record you could see for Washington and Philly. Now, Washington and Philly don't have cakewalk games. Eagles' line is very short. Commanders are actually dogs, both playing on the road. You know, the actual expected outcome is Dallas will pick a game up on everyone this week in the NFL. But I just think it's really interesting, again, Donnie, that, you know, usually we see this team playing the Giants like, what do you think they're going to win by, 10, 14? 20. They need this game, and I don't think that that's an overstatement here for the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, rather.
Let me ask you this question too first, because let's overanalyze right off the bat. A short week here, which means you have that mini bye built in. They lose this game to the Giants. Is there a chance Mike McCarthy is fired after the game?
Wow, it doesn't feel like it, but also maybe I'm not being realistic, because I'm not expecting them to truly lose this football game tonight. But, you know, here's the thing. Dak's not going anywhere, right? You know, Dak signed that contract, so the quarterback isn't an option as far as potential changes. I don't think McCarthy – I don't know. Is there anyone you could really see being fired through 4 weeks? Peterson,
no, it's hard.
Maybe.
It's hard. And we talked about that too with Peterson. I just think sometimes it's like it's just too early to fire a coach and try to start that. And also the fact that for some, like Jerry Jones loves Mike McCarthy, because simply Jerry can probably walk to his office and go, Zeke Elliott's going to get the first five carries of this game. And I'm like, yep, sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, thanks. As opposed to when Bill Parcells was there, it's like, just get out of my office. You are a owner. Own this team. I will coach this team. And he's a complete yes man at this point. So I don't know if he does. It's just an interesting, like, sort of prelude to the game itself to get it kicked off. But I'm with you. I think the Dallas Cowboys have a pretty good showing tonight and win this game tonight. But also, the turmoil that we're talking about with the Dallas Cowboys, they haven't played well for the last 2 weeks. And quite frankly, don't worry about the final score. They got destroyed in back-to-back weeks at home, now going on the road. Dak Prescott saying we're unprofessional, we weren't ready to play that football game, which is a direct indictment on him and also his head coach. And CeeDee Lamb basically saying, yeah, I took the bag. I just not performing at this point. I guarantee I'll get it together. Is that one of those angles you look at tonight and say, first half, first quarter, they're going to be on it right away and be ultra aggressive, the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, I don't hate that idea. The CeeDee Lamb has been really disappointing. Now, his numbers are not terrible. He's still performing as one of the 10 to 15 best wide receivers in the league. CeeDee entered the year as the second choice to an offensive player of the year, only behind Tyreek Hill and all these lead the NFL in receiving categories. And he's not even come close to that billing. But what's interesting is some of that is the targets. He's tied for 15th in the NFL in targets, Donnie. Compare that to Malik Nabers tonight, who leads the NFL. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb, when you look what's around, especially Ferguson's already missed the game, you would expect that is 10 to 12 to 15 targets a game. And that's not what we've seen.
we are looking at the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants right now, right? And you're trying to see where this game's going to go. Dallas Cowboys are 5.5-point favorite, total sitting at 45.5. I've liked the way the Giants have played the past 2 weeks. They probably should have won both of those games, but I just keep on harping the stupid ownership decision, general manager decision, not to activate a healthy kicker. Cost you a game against Washington. They played well last week, but you still try to factor on what am I getting out of Daniel Jones. The one thing I do know is he's played competent football, and actually looking at some of the numbers, Kevin, did you know he's sixth overall right now in quarterbacks and actual pass attempts, which is kind of funny. You figure they would try to hide him a little bit more at this point. Now, granted, that does factor in that some quarterbacks are starting on a week-to-week basis that shouldn't be because of injury. So that number goes up. He's been there the full three games, and quite frankly, he's been okay at best. 4 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions for him. But what do we get out of him tonight? Is this a, hey, you know what? Here we are in the NFC East. We're actually going to be a player, Daniel Jones. Or is this the one that we're laughing at where he is getting pummeled by Micah Parsons, strip sack fumbles, terrible looking interceptions? Because we've got a mixed bag from Daniel Jones that has been much better the past 2 weeks than opening day.
Yeah, but see, you know, I don't know, man. So you're telling me that DJ is sixth in attempts, Donnie?
Yeah.
And is 20th in yards?
Correct. Yes.
I mean, okay, so it's the same old garbage. It's the same. I mean, you know, it's just the same. Like, look, he had a very good game against Cleveland. The Browns also might have a terrible defense. Well, terrible, but they might not be all that great, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the returns off of Cleveland have not been good, really, either side of the football. Yes. Now, listen, Daniel Jones threw 70% completions, multiple touchdown passes. So you got to kind of give him credit for that. But basically, Donnie, if we look so far through 3 weeks, it's been bad, bad, really good. Well, isn't that all right? We'll sell high on Daniel Jones. This will come crashing down. The thing is, this line has been nonstop moving in Dallas's direction. Sixes have started to appear here. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll touch 7, but I had plenty of games last season where they threw the Giants in prime time with Daniel Jones, and I'm like, listen, man, I don't like the guy, but I think this is a little too much disrespect. Or, oh, you know what, man, this is a good spot. I'm not doing it. It will not be. It will be November before I consider betting a Daniel Jones spread, I think. And that's just how it's going to be. It doesn't mean I'm laying it against them every time. You're up if you've done that so far this year. I'm not going to be doing that. But I just can't. I cannot back this guy, Donnie, because the world where it's 160 yards on 40 pass attempts and multiple interceptions is more likely than him throwing another game of 70% completions with 240 yards and multiple touchdowns.
I thought an interesting angle for this, too. I'm just looking at FanDuel right now. A couple odds boosts there we'll be able to use tonight. We'll certainly have some fun with the boys on Pro Football Today. That's going to get kicked off here. Game time for us tonight with a nice new look and a nice fresh approach. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you tune in to the show tonight, getting started at 8:15. But how about this prop here, Kevin? You have two electric wide receivers. Malik Nabers has been as advertised. CeeDee Lamb, we know, has the ability to ring it up. And also the fact that Dak Prescott not happy with the offense, CeeDee Lamb not happy. You know what happens in the quarterback and the wide receiver room. Hey, man, I'm going to get you going early in this game. But how about this? Player's longest pass of the game. Daniel Jones, 32.5. Dak Prescott, 36.5. They look like two doable numbers to go over that, no?
Yeah, for sure, right? I mean, I think it. Though they're one-play wagers, though, right?
Yes,
like, the thing we know about that is Dak hits a 34-yard pass, a 35-yard pass. You're like, did I cap this wrong? Like, what just happened here, right? Like, you know, every single time that they get the balls on the 36-yard line, you're like, man, somebody false start. This is doing absolutely nothing for me there. I don't feel like we've seen a ton of Daniel Jones deep shots early this season, but I wonder if he is gaining confidence knowing that he has a superstar at his disposal in Malik Nabers, because that's what Malik Nabers has been. Malik Nabers has been, on the conservative end, one of the 10 best receivers in the league. To start the year, he's arguably been the best.
By the way, the hype on Daniel Jones is real, Kevin. Did you know early morning, 199.5 is his passing prop, up to 201. There are believers and truthers on Daniel Jones tonight. It's Moneyline on a Thursday. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game will certainly keep up there and hit that within the hour, but we're going to have a pretty good handicap on this one tonight. I really do like Dak Prescott's over 1.5 touchdown passes, but I said we'll get back to that in a little bit. Major League Baseball, really hot coming down the stretch, and if anybody's watching here on the YouTube channel, Kevin's got his Yankees hat on today. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, I didn't expect the Yankees to win last night. I thought Eflin was the better pitcher on the mound, and here's what I love about the Yankees, right? Nestor Cortez, they, you know, my elbow hurts. I'm going to get a MRI and an injection. He's not going to be back for the postseason. Don't care what he says. You're not going to sit out 10 days with an injection and expect to be thrust into a high leverage situation out of the bullpen for the Yankees with maybe your season depending on it. So then you go, okay, let's go to a trusted veteran, Marcus Stroman, who was absolutely abysmal last night in that game. What a disaster he's been for the New York Yankees, but he won't factor into the playoffs either. Tonight, it's Gerrit Cole going up against Corbin Burns. I do think tonight New York pops the bottles and clinches, but also I think this game does stay under the total. Your thoughts as a Yankee fan, sort of delaying the inevitable, but still, you sort of say, like, I know we're going to win this division, but now there's something's bigger too, Kevin. Winning the division, yes, fantastic, but also Cleveland Guardians right there on your heels to take over that number one seed now.
Yeah, I think the shame of the way the baseball postseason's played out under its new format is it doesn't feel like it matters. Like, if the Yankees ended up, Donnie, let's go a step further, lose out, and they don't win the division, right? Mm-hmm. So the Eagles last year, like, them losing that division was unimaginable. Yes. And what happened was, instead of playing in Philly, they had to go to Tampa. And I know Dallas still lost, but, like, the whole thing got completely shattered. It's one game. The Eagles, like, it was such a collapse, right?
Yeah.
For the Yankees, it would be a collapse. But it wouldn't be a situation where it's like, ah, come on, they can't win it now because they have to go to Minnesota or host Detroit. It wouldn't matter. That's why, like, you mentioned the Guardians being on their heels. I think there's a level of pride. I think you want to finish with the best record. And again, you'd rather play the games in your building. But again, we've not seen these buys be beneficial. I know that you're still hesitant to call them a negative. I'm hesitant to tell you that they are 1,000% a negative in the fact that then I'm going to start fading them, Donnie. But as somebody who has a Baltimore Orioles World Series ticket, I'm not sitting here, come on, catch, we need the division. I don't care. Why? What evidence is there that I should care whether they win a division or not?
But also, when you look at the teams from the best team that makes the playoffs to the worst team, the difference isn't that large. It's really not. It's not like in the NFL where the team's at like a 28, you know, point spread at this game. You know what I mean? Or in college football is probably a better use of that. They're really close. And also, the teams that are in the wild card probably have been grinding for weeks to get in. Teams like the Detroit Tigers, right? Nobody's going to want to show up in the playoffs as a wild card and be like, oh, wait, I got to face Scooble in game number one of a short series where I'm going to lose that game behind the eight ball. So you are right on that. But also, I do like the fact from, like, let's flip it over to the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. It looks like they're going to fight right up, Kevin, to the last day to see who gets that number one overall seed. That's a great thing for them because they're not in the wild card race. So it's like, well, hold on. I'm going to throw Zach Wheeler Sunday afternoon, but then I can't use him Tuesday or Wednesday or maybe not even Thursday at this point. I can't do that, so I have to give it up. Meanwhile, the Phillies won't play their first playoff game till October 5th, which I believe is a Saturday. So they will have off Sunday to Saturday, which is a long time, but it could have been worse. If you're like the Braves, who every year in the NL East ran away with a division, and they go, hey, it's 10 days left to go in the season. We're just going to turn this thing off and relax and have fun and, oh, we got to wait another 6 days to play a game once we get to the playoffs. So you haven't played a meaningful game in 2.5 to 3 weeks at that point. At least that's not going to be the same. But the reason I do think there are more upsets, not because it's like, hey, the teams are rusty. Just have all the teams getting in have a legitimate chance to win because why did they get there? They're obviously a decent ball club. So I'm rooting for the Phillies to get that. They do hold the tiebreaker over the Dodgers, and the Dodgers do play today. So let's just say the Dodgers lose today. 3-game set for the Dodgers with the Colorado Rockies over the weekend. No doubt they should win at least 2 of 3. Phillies play Washington. No doubt they should win 2 of 3. Tonight is a big game for the Dodgers going up against Joe Musgrove, where Walker Buehler's been on the mound. He hasn't been all that good and then moved to the playoffs. By the way, if we are looking, Kevin, National League,
Yeah.
I do think that, not no homers here. I think the Phillies are the best team overall. Starting pitching, 1 through mm-hmm. 9, and bullpen. I'm telling you right now, if you said, Donnie, as a Phillies fan, who do you not want to face in the National League playoffs? Most people would probably tell you, well, hopefully we can avoid the Dodgers. They get upset. For me, Kevin, Padres. Don't want to see the Padres.
Yeah, I know they look super dangerous, and Dylan Cease has kind of given them that front-end ace, mm-hmm. and Manny Machado and Tatis, and I know Merrill's been really good. But I want to just quickly go back to something that you said. I think you're correct that this year we are kind of loaded with parity. Doesn't feel like we have one unbelievable mm-hmm. team.
Yeah.
Donnie, last year, the Braves and Dodgers were so much better than everybody in the National League. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And neither team played in the NLCS after getting byes. That's a joke. That can't be. That, like, you're right, Donnie. This year, we don't have last year's Braves, last year's Dodgers.
Yep.
One of them getting upset, it happens, right? Phillies are red hot. They have postseason pedigree. I got you. Donnie, Brandon Pfaadt was all of a sudden mowing down Mookie Betts. I mean, Freddie Freeman didn't know what was coming out of his hands. That is what has bothered me about this. Not that I like need the favorites to come in, but it is mm-hmm. read like a detriment. And I don't care how much parity there is. I do not care how much parity there is. If the National League is not represented by the Phillies or Dodgers, that will feel ridiculous. And I don't have bets on either one of those teams, Donnie, but they've been the two best teams all season long. Like, if both of them do not make the NLCS yeah. again, they have to change the format. They must change the format if both teams are eliminated in their opening round game.
And also, you know what doesn't look good, too? Everybody knew this. The Arizona Diamondbacks moving forward to the World Series absolutely tank the ratings. So people could say, like, oh, it's good to see a new baseball team in the. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's the Dodgers. It's the Phillies. It's the big markets. Those are going to carry it because you need superstar players on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to set up this topic, too. We'll get to a little college football if you have anything, Kevin, tonight on Army-Temple game. Mm-hmm. A really good Friday night, but I know you're off on Fridays. A really good Friday night slate in college football with just two games. Rutgers-Washington, Miami-Florida, and Virginia Tech. Yeah. So intrigue there. But there's a circumstance in Major League Baseball where they knew a storm was coming, and the best outcome is, oh, by the way, you guys want to make the playoffs? We'll probably run you through a doubleheader Monday. You might even have to play again on Tuesday in the playoffs or Wednesday here. You have got to be absolutely kidding me at this point. We'll talk about that and much more right here on Moneyline on a Thursday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chat box out there fired up. Mammoth out there firing away in the chat box. Appreciate everybody watching the show live and also listening live across whatever medium you are doing that on. A lot of topics, which before the break, we came into this. I don't know what Major League Baseball is doing, but I know they're doing it wrong. And this just feels like people are asleep at the wheel. The reason I bring this up is the Mets and the Braves are fighting each other to get into the playoffs. Here's what we love. The two teams in the final week of the season play each other. That is awesome. That's what that's when you hit a home run with the schedule, right? You say, two teams tied, two teams playing each other. Let's watch it play out. You get a game on Tuesday night. You know weather is coming, Kevin, right? You know what's on the horizon. I'm not saying you play a doubleheader on Tuesday because weather conditions can be wrong. Hey, we forced in a doubleheader, which hurt these two teams going down the stretch. And then it looks like the hurricane took a veer. We're not even going to get rain. But by Wednesday or late Tuesday night, you knew the weather was going to be a problem. And I said this on the early line. I understand it's about money sometimes. And teams like, I don't even care what happens. We better get that full gate that we already paid for, understandably. But if you're looking at a team making the playoffs for the best interest of your franchise, Kevin, why didn't we play that game yesterday at 12 o'clock to get one of them in? Because theoretically, we might not even need the remaining games here to be played on Monday. But you could have guaranteed yourself one more game to separate if these two teams even needed to play. They scrap the rest of the series and say, if you are tied or we need these games, fly back Monday, play a doubleheader, fly out that very night and go play possibly a playoff game the very next day. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's not great. I think it is like the extreme thing, Donnie, is though, like, hey, I got it. baseball outdoors enough. Mm-hmm. We can't do this anymore. Everybody gets a dome. Like, and I'm not saying I want that. I'm not saying I want. No, but legitimately, Donnie, right? Like, it would be a disgrace if the bank or Yankee Stadium had domes on top of them. I'm not.
Yes, it would.
Now, we would open them, like, you know, unlike, you know, Houston.
No, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. Well, we would always stay. We know how that goes. Oh, we need a retractable roof down here. Brother, why don't we save you $300 million? Slap that thing on there because you'll open it two times a year. Nobody would ever open it. So go ahead.
Well, listen, and that, again, by the way, I'm not saying I'm a proponent of it, but it is so brutal. Yeah. It's like, it's raining. It's like, man, you're a professional sports league. Like, this can't happen. Like, we've got to, I don't know, play in the rain or something, Donnie. Like, as crazy as that sounds, like, yeah. I don't know. We play football in the rain. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's really tough, though, when you get to a situation like this. And the idea that, like, baseball wouldn't help out, like, the teams playing Monday, be like, no. We can't move things around. Like, you play Tuesday. That's, you know, good luck to you. Let me ask you this. Let's take the Braves. Yep. So Sale was supposed to pitch yesterday in that series. When are you throwing Sale? Are you throwing him Saturday because that's your next available game? Or tomorrow, I guess, because that's your next available game? Are you throwing him? Are you saving him for the doubleheader? What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, you can't, the old saying goes, can't look a gift horse in the mouth. And what I mean by that is, look, you're getting an advantage here where he has an extra day off. You can't hold him because the chance you hold him, Kevin, and then it doesn't mean anything because you held Sale back a game that you lost that you could have won on a Friday. You have to throw all bullets right off the deck and you say, we'll find out where we're at on Monday. If you're playing for Monday, you might not even be playing Monday, which means you already got knocked out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is such a crazy thing. And then the fact that, like, you might not play the full season. All my baseball win totals are settled up. They were all, I had three of them. Two of them were clear the whole way, which was Atlanta and Texas under. And then one of them was horrendous with a Kansas City Royals under. And obviously they went through that in like June. So they've all been settled. But are there books out there, Donnie, that are holding on to Mets Braves win totals being like, I don't know. Let's cancel some games here.
There's got to be some, I guess each individual book has different house rules on that, on how that's actually graded and given out. But that would be a shame at that point. Like, hey, I won the under. Why? Because they didn't play the last game. Or did they do the books? Now, here's what you're supposed to do, Kevin. Books that truly understand the business go, everybody wins on this. You had the over, you had the under. We didn't play the last game. It came down to it. Everybody wins. Because some people say, like, oh, you can't do that as a book because that guy will take his $100 and never bet again. No. That guy takes the $100 he just won, loving that sports. You know, like FanDuel, DraftKings, Bet365, they did me right. Love this book. This is why I keep using them. And, oh, yeah, I'll lose another couple $100 next month anyway. So that's what they should do in that. But some books just like to take your money and say, you'll be back regardless at any point here. We got more hot topics to play off of. Temple, Army tonight, big college football action, NFL game tonight. Come on, it's Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You weren't on yesterday, Kevin, to talk to you about this topic, which... It is going to get overblown, but I love to go way down the rabbit hole and sort of go devil's advocate. College football players not getting paid what they wanted to, sitting out seasons. We had a good conversation on the early line today because I think there's a lot of different angles here. For me, coming into the subject is I never thought college football players should be paid. But then I said, you know what? It makes sense. And I had this preamble yesterday for the first 10 minutes of the show when we were talking about the UNLV quarterback. For me, name, image, and likeness was the perfect, Kevin, solution and scenario. The design for me was there might be five guys, Kevin, nationally in college football that you can put on a Ford commercial, a Chevy commercial, a Dr. Pepper commercial, and they can legitimately sell that product. Hey, that's DJ Uiagalelei, who actually was quite a bit of a star before he went to Florida State and Oregon State.
Yeah.
You recognize him. He was on those commercials. Quinn Ewers is a big name. Now, granted, it's, most people look at Quinn Ewers who don't really follow college football. They don't know who he is. But the point of that commercial is it's college football. They're number one in the country. Let's put the quarterback there. Put some money in his pocket. Well-deserved. Also, on a lower level, forget about, let's just say, okay, you play for Alabama, Kevin, and you're a middle linebacker. You're a household name because you're a good football player, but you can't sell nationally. But the local car dealership goes, hey, you know what? You show up three times this year on Saturday for 2 hours and sign autographs, I'll give you a Hellcat. Awesome. That's exactly what it's for. But NIL turned into, we're not going to use your name. We're not going to use your image. We're not going to use your likeness. We're just going to pay $1 million to come to our college. I think that's where it went off the rails for me. And now you're seeing guys saying, I thought I was promised this. I thought I wasn't promised this. And I think the real issue here is you can transfer at any time you want, which I think is ludicrous. And number two, you get a red shirt if you play three games. It used to be, Kevin, the minute you played a snap, you burned your red shirt. So backup quarterbacks, when a starter went down in the eighth game of the season, hey, kid, this is your team. The coach goes, I'm not burning his red shirt. I need that guy for 4 years here. Put in the bum behind him here. Well, I don't care if he leaves or not. Like, where are we going with the NIL that now kids are like, after three games, I'm going to reevaluate what I want to do, and I could sit this out.
Yeah, I think it's legitimately insane that anyone thinks this is the kid's fault. I legitimately think that that is those kids are able to ask for essentially contracts because they're being offered to them, because there's a portion of them that are worth that much. Like, we know the entity that is college football, and we just can't ignore it anymore. It is a billion-dollar industry. That's just, listen, there's, in the NFL, it's 51-49 revenue splits, right? And we can't sit there and be like, oh, come on, everyone does it for the love of the game. Oh, Saban retired because, oh, he couldn't handle it. Nick Saban's doing Aflac commercials while making more money than the entire state of Alabama. And listen, you think Nick would have done it for free, Donnie? You think Nick would have coached Alabama for free? Obviously not.
But let me get this point across to you here. I understand where you're going, and you cannot fault that player. But also, if the player had correct representation, there would be a contract in place. And if that money wasn't paid out, he'd go, I'll play the rest of the year. I'll see you in court. I'll get that $100K one way or another, and away we go. How could you be so dumb as a kid to listen to a guy that's not even licensed in the state, that school that you're going to, who said an assistant coach said he would pay you $100,000, and it turned out to be, no, we only agreed to $3,000 as a moving stipend and maybe $3,000 a month while you're playing here at this point. That's a lot to do with the kid and the representation that he has, because he should be able to sue whatever company he went with for the $100,000 and keep playing here. We wouldn't have had any issues. If there was something in writing, in contract, guaranteed, we'd never hear about it. But somehow it got caught in the loop where I'm supposed to get $100,000 and the university's like, absolutely not. And they call the NIL collective like, we never even heard from this guy for any money at this point. That's where I get caught up in the mistake and say, okay, three games in, I'm going to bounce at this point, when he actually shouldn't even have a red shirt to deal with or pull himself out, since he already played three games. The minute you play game number one, your shirt should be gone and you're in it to win it at that point. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the red shirt stuff is really weird, right? Like, I think that you should be able to transfer at the end of any season. I think playing three full games and redshirting, that's very odd.
And not for injury, yeah.
But also, Donnie, don't you think part of the reason that we don't have these, like, actually handled contracts is because they are still trying to tiptoe around what this is? Like, don't you think that that is a detriment here to that then allows this kid to make $100,000 handshake with someone and then that money's never coming his way? Like, I understand what you're saying, that there is responsibility on him to not get burned in that way, but he's then taking it upon himself, like, all right, well then I'm not playing. I'm not going to waste a year of my playing abilities for a program that's currently 3-0 if they're going to give me $3,000 when they said they were going to give me $100,000. He's getting 3% of the money they said they were going to give to him, Donnie. Someone said that to him. He didn't make it up. So they're taking advantage of the kid.
Look, we don't even know what to believe, though, at this point, because I'm going to give the kid the benefit of the doubt. But who's saying that they're 3-0 and he goes, you're paying me $3,000 a month? I want $100,000 by Friday, or I don't play the rest of the season. How do we actually know that that's not the case at this point where his
Wouldn't that have come out?
Well, we don't know that yet. Like, and also, UNLV can't pay the kid. So you can't just make this stuff up and be held like they used to be like back in the day, right? You give a kid a Ferrari to come to Alabama in 2001. That kid takes the Ferrari and goes, I'm going to Alabama. And the last day he goes, you know what? I'm going to LSU. Alabama boosters coming out and be like, I gave that kid a Ferrari and he didn't come here. It's like, we just got burned on that one. And we know we can't make that mistake again. But it's just such a slippery slope as you head down where I would hate to see it start, because I know the way I like to think. Michigan, Ohio State, Kevin, day before the game, Ohio State team goes, NIL collective, you're paying us each $100,000 a piece. We don't show up tomorrow. We don't even show up.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is so, but that's where too, Donnie, like, again, I don't think it's a point that I have an issue with of being like,
yeah,
then put contracts in place. Yes.
There has okay. to be a contract.
Put contracts. Like, I know that the usual argument is, oh, we're going to make the kids at Middle Tennessee sign contracts. I don't care about Middle Tennessee. I don't care. They can then operate outside of contract. If you're playing at a power school, just sign the one-year deal. Or, Donnie, if you really want, right, Arch Mannings of the world, hey, we're offering you a three-year deal. That way you don't have to worry about the kid leaving the campus. Not like, because it's that is what this stuff is. It you know, there's a kid at now, the kid at USC that's like slapping a red shirt on because he's not getting enough playing time through three weeks. That's crazy, right? I can level with you, Donnie. That's totally nuts. You've been active for three games. He's a freshman, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you're at USC. What? And again, like, you're going to hit a red shirt and then transfer. You could just play at USC next year. But, you know, listen, somebody is not getting through to the kids at USC. Somebody, I mean, Malachi Nelson, I'll never get over what that kid did. Malachi Nelson, to me, is what Patrick Baldwin Jr. is to you. Like, the advice that was given to Malachi Nelson is the worst advice anyone's ever been given. Well, apparently someone did the same to this USC D-tackle.
But you know what's funny about this? Because you try to sort of, like, get around it and how it, like, plays into it. Like, you know, you recently bought a house, right? So you're saying, you know what? I just got a handshake deal with this guy. And then you close on the house, you move in a week later, he goes, okay, the rest of my money is due. And you're like, I'm not paying any of that money at this point. Like, you need contracts in place to keep the sanity. And the good thing about it is now, Kevin, things are going to get cleaned up around the NCAA, not from their perspective, but from the team's perspective by going, make sure every one of these players has a contract. And we even sit them down, Kevin, when they show up day one to training camp. Did any of you use the NIL collective? Did any of you have anything? What did you get? Where is it? Where's the contract? Bring it here so we can see everything in writing. That'll put a close to it. I think the anomaly is this kid sitting out with a top 20 team finally at UNLV saying, I'm going to take my talent elsewhere. I don't think that's going to be popping up, because I tell you, there's one guy right now, if Cam Ward and the Miami Hurricanes, he goes, I'm not playing unless he gets $5 more million, the fans of Miami will give him the $5 million to continue to play down there. Craziness right now. Moneyline, it's a Thursday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's been long said, Kevin. You don't go into Lincoln Financial Field and play the Temple Owls and come out with a victory. Army's on the road, 12.5-point favorite, 46.5. By the way, did Temple win last week? I think, did they play like Utah State? I can't remember. But I think they might have won last week, Temple.
Let's check.
I want to say.
Owls are 1-3.
Yeah. I think they might have beat. I want to say Utah State. Yeah.
What a season Utah State's having.
Yeah, my goodness, man. Show up a little bit. It used to be Utah State. I used to love betting them late at night. Like, they had a good football program. Was it Anderson who was their coach a couple years ago? I can't even remember at this point. They had some pretty good players out there, Utah State. Was that where Jordan Love didn't come from, Utah State, did he? Who came from Utah State? Yeah. Was it Jordan Love? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dates me back there. But they had some pretty good players. But they got a 12-8. Any thoughts tonight, Army Temple, or no? It's off the radar.
It's mostly off the radar. I might kind of double check. I mean, you got a Service Academy laying double digits, so maybe Temple, but they also might be terrible. Let me ask you this quickly. I know we have the NFL tonight, but we're going to be together all night. Yep. But I won't talk to you tomorrow. Where are you at on Georgia-Bama?
I'm taking Alabama.
Now,
here's me saying I'm taking Alabama. I'm not betting the side. I think Alabama wins that football game. I'll be into some prop bets, but if you said, Donnie, free bet, $50, $100, who are you going to take on the money line? I would take Alabama in that game. I would. Both the teams coming off a bye. Should be a clean football game. At home. And so, sometimes I take a little bit too much after what just happened here. Alabama really hasn't been tested yet. But that game really sort of woke me up a little bit with, you know, Georgia going on the road to Kentucky. I thought they would hammer. Looking a little bit sluggish on offense. Not the powerhouse juggernaut. We know they're going to be great on defense. But home field advantage in the SEC in those type of games, they really matter. And it's not as if, like, Kevin, I wonder what we get from Milroe. No, he's a good quarterback. You know what you get from Milroe now.
I mean, Milroe, with a win, has a chance to go to the Heisman favorite. Certainly sit right there with Cam, who's off to a crazy start. Yeah. I've kind of been saying, so preseason, I expected Bama to win this game because I did. When you do college football research, it's so unique. But you have to do, occasionally, game breakdowns. In your preseason research, because of how, you know, for Bama, you can hand wave like so much of the schedule, right? So this can lead to time. So I did a little bit of Georgia-Bama research, Donnie. And one of the things that that just stood out to me was how good Kalen DeBoer has been off of buys. I like his roster, Brian Denny. I agree with you. I thought they would win this game. The thing that I am going to just be hunting and what I'm hoping for is Bama wins, and then I can bet Georgia national title tickets because I still don't see any way that they're not getting there, and I still think that the roster is absolutely rock star, and I think there's a chance to get 6-1 plus 650 on that football team if they do lose.
Here's what I love about it, too, because I asked Mark Zeno the same question. He came on today to talk some college football. I said, this is such an interesting year, and this is where me and Ben really have a good time, and same thing with you. Like the idiots out there that still try to tell you, like, man, regular season isn't going to matter. You're not going to watch this football game on Saturday. It's particularly the game of the year. And then say to yourself, okay, winner was Georgia. And then you go, wait a second. Alabama is a really good football team. They play well the rest of the year. They might even be able to take another loss and still get in the college football playoff. That's what all we ever wanted. Who would you like? Is college football a better game if we see a game on Saturday night, Kevin? 24-23, unbelievable, and go, well, next Alabama can't make the college football playoff or even factor in because they lost 1 point to Georgia in the late September game. This is fantastic stuff. So anybody's argument that we minimize the regular season, so in theory, the people that used to say that, Kevin, they're not even watching Saturday night. Like, well, I ought to watch that game. Like, there's no meaning to it at this point. That's what I get a kick out of now.
And by the way, okay, let's add this layer. Week number one, USC beats LSU. Okay, so now every LSU game doesn't matter.
Correct, yeah.
Week number two, Michigan loses to Texas. Okay, cool. No more Michigan game matters. Week number four, Michigan beats USC. Guess what? All of those three teams in the old format now, all right, hand wave them. We don't need these games. Correct. And you think that's good for college football?
Yes, unbelievable.
Come on now. You know how ridiculous you sound? These people out there, I don't mean you as in Donnie, because Donnie has been correct about this the whole time, as have I, but the general you who somehow thought that expansion would be bad. Man, there was a tweet from a guy who I know has had a lot of issues with expansion, who said that, don't worry about Michigan, Texas, man. You know, this isn't going to matter either way. Either team will be fine. Now, hold on a second now. I'm pretty sure that Michigan, when they lost that game, all of a sudden now had high stakes going into the USC game. And did salvage their season. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting the absolute best of both worlds, man. Come on now.
It's simplicity, man. Like, more playoffs, more meaningful football makes some sense. So, yes, the nudniks out there that used the end of the example, Kevin, also was this. Was so many blowouts in the college football playoff. Anyway, as if in the NFL, teams don't get smoked in round number one in the wild card. Like, what are we even talking about at this point here? But it's a meaningful football game, and that's what works here. And a meaningful football game tonight, Kevin, at MetLife Stadium, 5.5-point line, Dallas's favorite, 45.5 as the total. Let's start with the total here at this point. is mm-hmm. Thursday sometimes can be tricky, but early in the season, I like Thursday games a little bit more than the November games. We're not in, say, Thursday night in early December at the Meadowlands. 32 degrees, 15-mile-an-hour winds, chance of snow. It's a little bit cold and frosty. You're not getting that tonight. You're getting some pretty clean conditions. Do we think that we have an over? Because I think the way the Cowboys play, they will be aggressive. And then we need to engage the New York Giants. It can't be the other way around where Dallas comes out and punts their first two times. The Giants go, oh, we got a feel for this game now. Let's just slow this thing down.
Yeah, I don't like the total. I don't, again, side or total beating me up. I might get to a Giants team total under as we get a little bit closer to this game. Because am I getting 20.5 at a reasonable number for New York there? If I am, that's going to be a direction that I look here for the Giants, again, on that number. But it's a tricky game. It's a well-lined game. I know that that's not everyone's kind of favorite analysis, but there are some, you know, advantages on Sunday I like on sides. This isn't one of them, which takes me to the team total market. I'm leaning Giants to the under.
The G-Men and the Cowboys tonight. Hey, meaningful game. How about that? We'll see what happens tonight. Also, the boys will be live in studio on Pro Football Today. Make sure you tune in later. We got one more segment to go right here on Moneyline. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
G-Man in the building. By the way, Kevin, WNBA. Playoff action. Everybody swept through. No more Caitlin Clark into the playoffs here. I'm not even worried about the playoffs itself, right? I find myself over the summer was very intrigued with the WNBA. Am I stopping my night to go watch it? No. But if I stumbled across the TV, I was watching because why? It's either that or the Phillies game and I have 162 of those or the Yankees or whatever it is. If it's going to be Impact TV, I'm watching. Do we need to move the WNBA season up where it finishes Labor Day weekend?
So the season went a touch longer due to the break, but yes, not significantly.
When does it usually end?
Again, week or two earlier. It was not significantly impacted.
So it still goes into October, really, or no?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I can pull this up quick because I was also at that game.
Yeah,
I went to that final game. So hold on, let me pull this up real quick just to see exactly when it ends. Because to me, October 18th, Donnie, was the final game of that WNBA season last year.
What day? October what?
18th.
That's too long.
So
like, why can't they start in the spring?
Because of the college, they can't. They cannot. There has to be a buffer. What do you mean? What do I mean?
College gets over what? April? First week of April?
Well, I think they might have to like wait for them to graduate, though, and everything like that.
Really?
And when do you want the league to... But, Donnie, they started in May.
Like I want like 2 weeks after the season. But did they start earlier this year and then take the delay or what?
I'll tell you right now. So last year, the Liberty's opening game was seemingly on the 19th of May. And this season, their opening game was on the 14th. So they didn't move things around too much.
Yeah, and they're looking to get more seasoning. I guess there's nothing you can do, which it just coincides with the worst part of football where everybody's invested.
Here's the deal. First of all, what they did with their opening night of the postseason is a disgrace and is so unfair to the women and the fans of that, like the women, the athletes and the fans of that league. And they still, by the way, like Caitlin's game still like set the record for a WNBA playoff game since 2000, right?
Yeah.
But listen, Commissioner Whiteside, item number one on that agenda must be changing the first round format to best of five. Item number one. Are you aware of the format?
Yes.
I feel like, okay.
I said it the best morning real quick is, the format actually works the way it's intended to, the way they see it, where you have the home court advantage and they get the advantage because they're up 2-0 and they sweep. But in a real world, how could you have a 1-1 split and be like, well, hold on, I was a higher seed and the breakaway games in the other team's arena, but it did work out in their favor this year. Yes, so I'm with you.
But also, Donnie, what you're doing is now, if you make the playoffs, you have to get a home playoff game. You can't not get a home playoff game.
Yeah.
Everything has to be best of five. Realistically,
or just best of three where you fly. It's a different. They're chartered now, Kevin. What's the big deal?
I think that's understandable, Donnie, but also the NBA, Donnie, is best of seven, best of seven, best of seven. Yes. Like, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's with 16 teams making it, and that's not including play-ins. The WNBA going three best of five series, that is not too much. Now, I know they play half the games of the NBA, but again, that is just simply not too much. Because, Donnie, here's the thing. And this is why I'm not going to kill the league for the format. I imagine that the appetite for WNBA playoffs from TV has not been monstrous, and probably first round TV. That is done. That is a completely changed concept. There is going, because next year, Donnie, year two, Caitlin, Angel's probably in the playoffs. Maybe Paige Becker's in the playoffs. And then you add on your already established stars. They have to change that format.
Yeah. We got Boost tonight to take a look at Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. If there's one bet you know your boy Donnie Wrightside's going to be on, it's Dak Prescott over 1.5 touchdowns. I probably bet that on the side and also maybe in some parlays. What's one bet you're looking at to sort of size up tonight for the crew?
Daniel Jones, 31.5 rushing. He's not broken out on the ground just yet.
Right. Yeah.
But Lamar, 87. Watson, week one, nearly 40. DJ, I think I might be betting him on the ground tonight.
Kevin starts GTD at 6 o'clock. I'll be on that show at 6:30. The boys will be live at 8:15 tonight. A little pro football today in game. Can't wait for it to watch it. Chris Pine, the Wheels of Steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. Football Friday is tomorrow. We'll see you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.